Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, getting you ready for my interview with Ross Matthews, host of Straight Talk with Ross Matthews, which you can also hear here on podcastone.com. So before I get into my interview with Ross, which I went and sat down with him at Podcast One, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are friends over at True Car, because when you're making a big purchase, like buying a new car, don't you want an expected transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know that you're getting a fair deal? And so to really understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car that you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for down to the zip code, so you know what you can expect to pay for the car that you want. It's pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, you can lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, and we have a special episode of the podcast today, because we are here at the Podcast One Studios to talk to a great guest. He is another podcaster here on Podcast One. Please welcome to the show, Ross Matthews.
We
Ross.
We are family.
Yes, podcast. We're podcast brothers.
We are.
Or bros. Yes.
I've never been a bro before. I've never done that. So yeah, so this is nice. Bro, let's bro it out.
Hit it out.
We just did that fist bump. But hi, welcome. I'm saying welcome, but I'm on your show because we're in the studio where you
usually do this. Yes. And I normally don't record my podcast here. So you really have the home field advantage here.
In a way, and it is a competition. You are sitting in the seat I sit in.
I would have let you sit in the seat that you normally do the show in. No. I'm not normally here, so any seat would have been fine for me.
The host sits there. This is nice to see what it's like when we have guests come on Straight Talk, which is my podcast. This is their view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been doing the podcast for a couple months now.
28 weeks. 28 episodes.
Yeah. And you like podcasting?
I love it. You know, I have always found it, whether I'm on TV or not, I found a way to sort of keep a connection alive with the audience. You know, whether in the early days it was doing YouTube videos, and then I got too busy with the show. And then when the show went away and I sort of had a break, I thought, well, how can I keep that connection alive? And so I started talking to Podcast One, and I decided to start Straight Talk, which is all about my opinion. And then also, like I call it like Dr. Laura, but high pitched. Mm-hmm. I give advice to the callers, the gay best friend they need, they wish they had. So I started it just for me, selfishly. And then what happened is, it started growing. You know, people started hearing about it. Our numbers went from a couple to a bunch to like a crazy amount.
Right.
And now we're going to 2 days a week. And,
okay, so you were only one day a week, and now you're expanding?
Yeah, because there were like,
look at you, Ross.
Well, there were so many people listening, and there were like advertisers that wanted to do it, and we thought, can we advertise to people? So we're going to do it. And the truth is, I really love it.
Good.
I love the relationship with the audience. I think it's the most intimate medium right now, because people are listening, their imagination can take them wild, and because it's like on your phone, literally on your phone or on your commute or whatever, it's right there, and that's why I love how intimate it is.
Yeah. Also, I find because you are helping people often, like usually people aren't listening to podcasts when they're like doing something fun. Like they're not like, you know, at Great Adventure, like listening to podcasts. They're like at the most boring, worst parts of their day. And you're there helping them get through a lot, whether it's traffic or they're doing the dishes or walking the dog or something that's really boring that they just wish was over. Yeah. You're helping them get through those pain points during the day.
We are the lubrication.
Yes.
Through a really tough moment.
Yeah, through a tough moment.
Sure.
Yeah. And the more days you do it, like the more it just is by multiples. Like people think that, you know, just do it once a week and it'll be fine. And there's some people that it works for that. But the more and more you do it, the more and more, you know, you're just going to, you know, get that connection with the audience.
Yeah, and that's truthfully what it's all about. And then also for someone like me, and I assume like yourself, like I can't just sit and not create something, you know? So what I intended to be like this very casual just conversation is still that, but it's also like this highly produced thing where I'm creating, recording bits, and we have peripheral characters like our gay senior citizen who lives in Palm Springs, who's become our movie critic, or our Frisky Friscos, who are two there's a lot of gay on the show, but they're two gays from San Francisco who give their opinions on things. And we have Mark, who's my manager, who is like my Baba Booey from Howard Stern, yes, who we just make fun of the entire time. So it really has become much larger than just this conversation.
Yeah, you have a lot of people on the show.
Well, no, I mean, okay, yes. So there's me, and I'm, you know, the anchor. And then there's Mark, who's my manager, who yes, we make fun of. And then there's Daria, who is like my co-host,
yes,
who is... not a broadcaster, but a friend, and we just disagree a lot, so I thought it'd be nice, yes, to have a counterpoint. And then my best friend Tater Tot, who just has a boyfriend, but if you were single and she didn't have a boyfriend, I'd try to hook you up with her.
Okay.
But anywho, Tater Tot is like, she like produces with me and like doesn't talk a lot, but she pops in and she's great. And now that we're going to 2 days a week, Daria can't be there all the time, so she'll be there in the Friday shows. And Nikki Boyer, who's a great friend of mine forever and filled in for Daria when Daria wasn't there, she's coming. Anyway, so there's a big family, and we talk to the listeners every episode.
Yeah, you do phone calls?
We do phone calls, and one of the listeners plays against Mark, and Are You Smarter Than Mark, which is our pop culture sort of game show. They win. Sometimes they win if we have a sponsor who will gift them. They win that. Otherwise, we sign a certificate on a really quality high stock paper.
Wow.
Yeah, no big deal.
Certificate.
But, yeah, and we sign it out. We send it out to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are listening to this and who aren't familiar with you yet, but may want to go on to check out your show, you've had a very interesting career.
Yes.
And, you know, you are somebody who really had to, you know, make your own way, because you came from, you know, I don't want to say from nothing, but you were a guy who came from
a farm town.
Right.
And I created this. And listen, no one had posted a job opening for what I do.
Right. You really had to, you know, force your way into, you know, what you've become now.
Yes. And I did it by work. I was in college and I've always wanted to be a talk show host ever since I grew up in a small town, farm town, Malvern, Washington. Always wanted to interview celebrities. So I sought out, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened was, I was an intern at The Tonight Show behind the scenes so many years ago. It's going to be 14 years ago. And just working for free. And then one day, a comic dropped out of covering Ocean's 11 premiere. And they go, you know who's funny? It's the intern of the Hall of Ross. Mm-hmm. So they put me on TV. And then that became very successful. And then I started on Chelsea Lately. And that became very successful. And then I did my show, Hello Ross. And I do all the red carpets for E! And now I started this podcast. And that's how I got here.
Can I ask you about the point that you went from doing the stuff on Jay Leno and you became really well known on Jay Leno, and then when you got in front of Chelsea Handler?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that, you know, I come from the reality TV world.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that they get their first break, but they spend the rest of their lives trying to get that second break or segue into doing that second thing. Or you're just the guy from this, or you're just the girl from that. And they never are able to end up at the point where they want to be, where they have a career after all this. And there's a lot of people that they have no idea, but there's a lot of people who were talented, but then they just ultimately, they get lost. How did you make that transition from being the guy who was just known for Jay Leno
to as Ross the intern on Leno? Yeah.
Right.
Listen, and I remember a few years into Leno of being Ross the intern where I thought, well, okay, so now I'm like 26 and 27. Is there any way we could just call him Ross Matthews? Because it's like, Leave It to Beaver. I'm going to be the Beav. You know,
you
got to transition. And I've always thought longevity. Now, listen, I was the only one who ever thought I'd have any shot at a career in this business. So I was always thinking, well, how do I keep the longevity, right? So it turns out you can't control that stuff. Turns out you just need to be able to pivot and create any opportunity you can for yourself. So when I met Chelsea, of course I didn't meet Chelsea and think, oh, here's the ticket. You know, I met this girl who I really liked. She had got a show. She invited me on. I was horrible the first time because it's all about aggression. For that show was about elbowing people out of the way to get your moment.
And you were just somebody that was on the panel on Chelsea Lately. And then you became, you were on more and more.
Well, yeah. So we met touring and we liked each other. She got a show. She invited me on and I was horrible the first time. And then she invited me back and I'm like, oh, I don't think this is for me. And she goes, you're funnier than you think. You need to like push harder. So I said, okay. So then I did well and I became like one of the only people on every week. And then when she was gone, I would fill in for her as a host. And those numbers held on E!, which is why they then gave me my own show, which I did for two seasons and would probably still be doing if Chelsea had stayed at E!, but she left. So that show left.
Yeah.
And so do you and Chelsea have like a friendship outside of work?
Yeah, I love her. We're very different. We're, you know, I'm like a gay cartoon, like that extreme. And she's like kind of horrible on that extreme. In like a very loving way, I say that.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be shocked I said that. So we're at different levels of the ridiculous scale. But we have an appreciation for the other. So we really sort of we fill in the other parts of each other.
And you split your time between you're here and you're in Palm Springs, right?
Yes, yeah, I have a very active work life here in Los Angeles and then a very active retired senior citizen life in Palm Springs.
So what's your week like? You're in LA for a couple, and then it's like a long weekend in Palm Springs?
Yeah, well, I just go to Palm Springs anytime there's nothing on the calendar, right? So yeah. I'll look at and my job is I'm very lucky that it's not a 9-to-5, but what that means is sometimes, you know, I work 28 days in a row. And then sometimes I work 2 days a week, you know, mm-hmm. So I look at the calendar and I go, okay, I have 3 days. Mm-hmm. Get in the car. I take my Salvador, my 3 dogs, I throw them in the car and we're off. And so I'm actually leaving tomorrow morning for Palm Springs. I'm going to be there till Monday. That's a long time. I understand it's 5 days. Not a lot of people in the world can take 5 days and go away. Mm-hmm. I'll be working on the next book. I'll be working on stuff there. But that's what I do.
Okay, so you worked it. Because I listened to a bunch of your interviews on other podcasts. And I tried to.
Oh, wow.
I tried to, you know, cram as much as I could before.
You did research?
I tried to do research.
Mental note. I should do some of that before these interviews. Maybe I should start doing that.
One of the things that you said was that that when you're in Palm Springs, you go to bar trivia every day.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because not enough people do this. I go to, there's a bar called Toucans and they also have it at a bar called Hunters in Palm Springs. And it's Buzz Time Trivia. Now, if you look up, it's not just a Palm Springs thing.
Okay.
Buzz Time Trivia.
I'm going to look it up.
You go to the website, look it up. You can type in your zip code and it tells you what bars in your areas play Buzz Time. Now, let me tell you what it's like. In Palm Springs, these gay bars are filled with gay senior citizens. These are my people. So Salvador and I go every day, and it's all day, every day. It's like runs on the TV screens, or now they have little like iPads. They can do
anything. Yeah.
It's run, and it's 15 questions, takes 15 minutes, right? And you compete against everyone else in the bar. But the bar you're playing in competes back against every other bar in the world that's playing. So like some bars, like if your bar gets number one, they give you a free shot. But it's not about getting something free. It's just about pride, okay? So all these people in the bar that are the regulars.
So you're not even hosting Buzz Time Trivia. You're there playing Buzz Time Trivia against the other people at the bar.
Yeah, and I don't know their real names. And they know mine because I'm mean. But yeah. I know, I'm like, hey, Nipper. Hey, Oso. Good to see ya. I know their trivia names, you know, and so we all know each other.
Do you play by your name or you play by your trivia name?
I have a trivia name.
What's your, can you give that out?
It's Oprah.
Oprah.
Yes.
Just Oprah. It wasn't taken?
No.
Okay.
Taken.
Wow.
And you can create, you have to go to the website. You can't on the, in the bar, create an avatar. So I went to the website and created.
Are you the spokesperson for Buzz Time Trivia?
No.
You're not, this isn't a paid endorsement for Buzz Time Trivia?
I should be. Fuck it, I should create my own.
You should be the face of Buzz Time Trivia.
Yeah, and I understand it's not cool. I understand that maybe someone my age shouldn't be doing that all the time, but it's what I enjoy. And, you know, bingo's only one night.
Can you play it not in a bar?
Yes. No, you can't.
You have to own
it. And I've often thought, why isn't there an app? Because I would just play at home.
Right.
I'd be playing because it's the same
game.
Seems
like they're losing a lot of money. Is like the bar lobby keeping Buzz Time Trivia out of the homes?
And what they do is they turn it to a specific channel thing. So like the same questions I'm getting are the same in fucking Fort Lauderdale they're getting.
If they already have the app, why can't you just play it?
And you can't. I can download the app, but the app is so when you're in the bar, you can use your phone as a controller. But I would like to be playing at home. If the fine people at Buzz Time are listening to me, Buzz Time Trivia, let's make that happen.
Yeah, let's make that happen. You would think that you would be able to pull some strings on this. Who else is talking about Buzz Time Trivia?
I don't know. Did you go to the website?
I'm on the website.
So do you understand?
I get it. Yeah, I used to like go to like when I would go to bars more, like they used to have like a thing. It wasn't like on your app because you had like a flip phone, but they would like hand out the thing and you had to like give your driver's license so that you could get like the controller so that you can buzz in and play.
Oh, so we have a trust system in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other places, but you go, like I know for example, in Glendale, California, Clancy's Crab Shack, they have it. So different places have it. So you should just search and then trust me and go play it. Now listen, it's not just pop culture trivia. There are different nights.
Yes.
Some theme nights. The big game's on Friday at 7:30. We go play that every week. But but it's you know, it's everything from like art history to like 18th, you know, War of 1812 to everything. I mean, which just comes in handy in Palm Springs because a lot of those guys were in the War of 1812.
Yes, yes. Now,
cracking myself up.
Now, your significant other, is he into
my gay Latin lover? Yes. Salvador. He goes to trivia with me.
Is he into it, or is just like?
Yeah, he is. He used to not be into it, and now he's really into it.
Because my wife would not be into it.
She wouldn't.
No.
Oh, you're married, so I wouldn't hook you up with Tater Tot. I wouldn't. You're married. So listen, you might try to ease her in because it becomes like a social thing. Like yeah. All of a sudden, it's like I'm gonna beat Polly, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they have Monday on Sundays they have nachos. On Fridays the boozy bunch comes, so they have like this is just at Toucan's.
Yeah. We might be able to talk her in with the booze, okay. but I think that the trivia is just gonna be like we might have to just get her so drunk that she thinks she's playing something else.
Well, come on a Monday to Palm Springs. That's that night I do bingo at Azul, so maybe she'd like bingo.
What's bingo at Azul?
Azul's a bar.
Oh, Azul is a play. I thought bingo at Azul was like some new game that you invented.
No, bingo. And then, of course, during the day, you do a pit stop to play the penny slots.
Yes.
At the casino in Denham.
And you do a lot of, you play slot machines also?
I have like a $10 max and I play the pennies.
Why did you play penny slot machines?
Because it's more penny slot bang for your gambling dollar.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Okay.
Because it's not, listen, I'm never going to, it's not like, I've already won the lottery, honey. You know what I mean? This is just like to get my kicks.
Okay. I mean, you watch a fair amount of TV, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you watching now?
Well, see, now what happened was I got really like highfalutin in my dramas.
Yes.
Okay. So I watched like The Good Wife and The Mad Men and The Breaking Bad and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not wasting some time.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch a new show. I wait for a show to build buzz and people are like, oh, you got to watch it. And then I binge it and I have a nice relationship with it.
Yeah.
And then in terms of reality, I've gotten a little bougie on that as well.
Okay.
Where like I'm not watching like an MTV reality show. I watch like a TLC, like My 600 Pound Life.
Yes.
Is my favorite.
Yes.
But when it comes to competition reality, I always watch Big Brother.
Yes.
Except I started boycotting it the past two seasons because they filled it with like models and homophobes and racists.
Because you used to do stuff with Big Brother, right?
I did.
You used to, what was that that you used to talk to the Big Brother contestants?
Uh-huh. So I had a web show.
Yes.
It was a web talk show with CBS.
Okay.
And The Insider and Entertainment Tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And so then because we were CBS, we became the official web show of Big Brother and The Amazing Race. So when those people were kicked off, their first stop would be Julie Chen. Their second stop would be me.
Yes.
We taped right next to the Big Brother house.
Right.
And so that's what that was. But that was very organic because I did watch every season and every episode of Big Brother until the casting got so gross. Now, listen, I went into a general meeting with CBS to talk about career possibilities for me. And rather than doing that, do you know what I did? I talked to them about Big Brother.
So what was the line in the sand? What was the last straw for you on Big Brother that made you say, I'm a Big Brother super fan and now I'm never watching Big Brother anymore?
I'll tell you. It was two seasons ago. And when I watched the first episode and it was just literally, it was homophobes, right?
Okay.
Bigots and models. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all it was. So it was in there.
Big Brother 15. That was the one. That was the one that had all the people that were, a lot of unsavory characters, a lot of stuff with the racism.
And my disinterest had been building because they were just filling the house with models. Okay. Mm-hmm. Little uninteresting people. Do you know when I loved it in the early days when they put someone old in there, they put a fatty on the show, right? It was more, it was like, oh, I could fit in the Big Brother house, right?
Right.
These are people, I want to see how a single mom who's 45 competes against a Will.
Dr. Will,
Dr. Will, the beautiful doctor from 90210, right? I want to know how they interact, right? When it's just a bunch of gorgeous people, I understand what you're doing. You want people to tune in for the sex appeal and will they or won't they hook up? I'd rather see if the old Navy veteran decks the Hollywood nightclub owner.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about Boogie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You wanted to see Boogie get knocked out?
Not necessarily. I like Boogie, but I want to see. I want a range of people. Give me a fatty. Give me a senior citizen. Give me some color.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they go.
Give me a
so
big
much-
beautiful woman. Where is a big beautiful woman? Let me tell you something, CBS. I'm tuning in to see a BBW in a polka dot bikini. Not necessarily
plus size model on Big Brother Canada. Maybe that might be more interesting to
how
you.
How dare you? How dare you say that Canada is more open-minded to a BBW in a teeny weeny itty bitty polka dot bikini? We as Americans should stand up and rise up.
No, I'm just saying in casting that those are some of the choices that they're making.
And I think it's more interesting.
Yeah. No, I think that most people would agree with you.
Do you think so?
I think so. Well, especially as you're talking to the, you know, you're preaching to the choir right here. I think if you're talking to the person that's flipping through with the channel changer, I'm not sure if that's necessarily. But for the people that understand what the show is about, yes, and what makes the show interesting,
yeah,
then I think you're talking to the right people.
You really, I didn't think you would agree with me, but you agree with me.
No, I do agree with you. Yeah. I mean, this is what we talk about on this show, then Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race. And we know what's, when we don't get like, where are more models on these shows?
Yes, but those shows are perfect examples of the casting on those shows are great, you know, because they do vary, you know, and sure, the geezers don't do that great, but I invest in the geezers mm-hmm. on Amazing Race.
You could get one geezer, in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, at this point, like, I would be the geezer in the Big Brother house.
Yes. And that's disgusting.
Yeah, I'd be the old guy, like, oh, old man Rob with this podcast.
Exactly. And I think it's a shame.
Yeah. What about Survivor? Were you ever into Survivor?
Yeah, in the early days, of course. And then I just sort of like, I was like, I get it.
You get it.
Like, I get it. Okay. They're hungry. It makes me hungry to watch it.
So what made you stick around for Big Brother, but not Survivor?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I just became a loyalist. And then I started watching the Food Network competition, Food Network star and the design star and that stuff. I got into that. And then I just kind of got away from network. What should I be watching? You know, I mean, we're busy people here. What is worth it to be watching in reality?
You know,
I'm also a judge in RuPaul's Drag Race. So that reality show, I'm very into.
Yes. Well, that's not one that I'm watching, but that it is one I should be watching. I hear from a lot of people that is a good one.
It's funny. It's funny and it has a great message and it's good.
You're a judge like week to week or mm-hmm. like on certain, like competitions?
So I'm a judge every other episode.
Okay.
Carson Kressley and I share the judge's chair on the judging panel this season.
And how do the eliminations work on that? Do you guys, is it like The Apprentice where you advise RuPaul?
Sure.
On,
let's call it advice. Yeah. I give my opinion, but then Rue and the producers ultimately make, like, when they make the decision, I'm as shocked as anybody.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, and what kind of things are you judging on that show?
Well, I judge it on, because I'm a fan and I watch it. I judge it on what I, you know, devote an hour a week to watching you.
Yes.
You know, and I was on my couch sort of talking to the TV anyway. And so then when they asked me, do you want to be a judge? I was like, oh, good. Finally, people can hear me, you know? So, but I feel like I represent all the super fans. So I run through everything through the filter of, are you worth my time as a fan?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Not you, but what you bring to the table worth my time?
Yes. And how did you end up judging on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, I mean, have I ever been more qualified for anything in my entire life? Judging drag queens, honey, I can do that.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So they just reached out to you. Yeah. They're like, hey, do you want to do this?
Yeah. I was a guest judge twice.
Yeah.
And after that, they started a conversation a few seasons of like, would you ever be interested? And I had a contract, so I couldn't. And then finally we got some wiggle room in my contract and then blah, blah, blah. And then we made it happen.
Now, are you a mean judge or is this two ways that you could be the Paula or you could be the Simon or you could be sort of the Randy, but that's not, you know, nobody really wants to be the Randy.
I am a Paula with an edge.
Yes.
Okay. In that, it's at the end of the day, it's about people trying really hard and people fail and people succeed. And I completely understand. And I want people to do well. I'm rooting for people. But if you're not taking advantage of opportunity, that gets on my nerves, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I know a thing or two about seeing a small crack and not making a window, like tearing down and making a garage door. You know what I mean? Really making the most out of an opportunity. And that stage and that platform, even for you thinking, oh, funny drag queens, but they win $100,000 and they become icons in this community and they can travel the world for the rest of their lives and make an amazing living, right? It's a platform.
And what do they do, like shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. The people who have won and been successful on RuPaul's Drag Race, not just won, but been successful now in that community, make huge names and are playing casinos and cruises mm-hmm. and making
a huge living.
So
is it not just being
living.
A drag queen? You also have to have like a talent also?
Well, you have to have personality. You have to be able to stand on that stage and pop and be funny and be able to host and be able to act.
Okay, so it's like, are you doing like sort of like a nightclub show like as the drag queen? So it's not just like you want to just have the attitude, but you also have to like sing and dance and be like a very, you know, multifaceted as a drag queen.
You have to be an entertainer, whether it's singing, whether it's dancing, whether it's lip syncing, whether it's owning or reading a bitch, as it were. You have to be able to do something. You have to be a brand in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you talk about My 600 Pound Life?
Yeah. I love this show. Do you watch it?
I don't, but did they follow a different person every week, or is it one person they follow them all the way through?
Well, in season one, it was, and it must have been for, it was, I don't think it was planned for television because no one would greenlight this show, but it was followed people for 7 years.
7 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, you're talking about, I love a makeover. This was the makeover of all of makeovers because it was people who were like 600 pounds and would get gastric bypass, and you'd check in with them like once or twice a year in one episode. So in an hour episode.
Oh, wow. It's like Boyhood.
Yes. You would see them go from just a real shitty marriage.
Yeah.
A relationship with their mother that wasn't good.
Yes.
Forcing them to eat and then, you know, eat themselves to death and then come to terms with the fact that they needed surgery and then fail and this and this and this to finally in 7 years later, maybe they're finally walking. They're outside for the first time. A lot of them have skin surgery.
Yeah.
Their marriage is done. Their mother has died.
Did it go well for everybody? Or then some people, like, they fall off the wagon and then they are back.
It didn't go well for a lot of people.
Oh my God.
But like, it was fascinating to see the journey. I mean, to see someone 7 years later in an hour is incredible. Now, they did that for like a season and had probably 15 episodes that I could not recommend more.
Yeah.
So now what they've done, because that was so successful on TLC, is they have new seasons where it's like it follows them for a year.
Okay.
And so some people don't lose any weight in the year. So as much as I'm invested, I'm not invested like I was invested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, is there like casting for more people for this?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And like, I mean, it's good. Then, you know, big bone people are my people too, you know? And so it's, I get the struggle. Of course, I'm not 600 pounds yet, but I get the struggle.
Not yet.
But I understand the struggle. So like, not only do I find the makeover, the before and after fascinating, I also kind of, you know, I speak the same language as them. I get it. I get what they're going through.
And so when you said that you've gotten a little bougie in your reality TV viewing, so you feel like this is the stuff of substance, the stuff that's my 600 pound, like you want a feel good story.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I'm not watching 16 and Pregnant.
Yes.
I'm watching My 600 Pound Life.
You know,
and not judging 16 and Pregnant. It's just, that's where my taste has gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see you have the Apple Watch. I don't know anybody who has it.
Yep.
How is it?
You know,
can you play Buzz Time Trivia on it?
No. It's so unnecessary. I can't even tell you. But, you know,
I would be on it all day.
You know what it is? One, it's a very nice watch, right?
Yes.
And I like that I can change the face. And so I have a different watch. I can change the band, blah, blah, blah. I like that it tells me the temperature and the date.
Yes.
And it tells me, hey, every once in a while it goes, hey, stand up, lazy fuck, get up and walk around. It does.
It says that?
In so many words. So those functions are nice. Now, what you don't need it. I mean, it's just your phone on your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
But what's nice is when you're at dinner and your phone's in your purse or your man purse or your wallet or your pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
If you get an email, usually you'd be like, oh, shit, hold on, give me 1 second. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't need to, I'll reply later.
Right.
Now you like to go, you glance, and you go, oh, I'll reply later. So it really has sort of like, it has freed me from my phone in a way, which you wouldn't think.
Yes.
Anyway,
okay.
There you go.
Wow. I feel like I would just be like trying to like look at things all the time. And I guess if you have the self-control.
But you don't. You think you would, but it's not like you have the internet. You know, you can't browse.
Oh, you can't look at the internet?
No. I mean, it's too small. You wouldn't want to. But no, it's not like that. It's not like you're checking. You can check, like, you have a New York Times app or an AP or CNN app or something like that. But I don't use that. I just go to the phone.
Yeah.
If I'm going to scroll, my phone's in my pocket anyway.
If you're going to read on the watch,
yeah.
Right.
But it's nice when you travel because you could just beep at the airport, beep at the thing.
Oh, you have your ticket on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Starbucks, you just beep.
Yeah. If you could get Buzz Time Trivia, I feel like that would be the buzzer.
Listen, you don't know how it works.
I don't know how it works.
There's four options. You just buzz in.
You couldn't put the four buttons on the watch?
I don't know. I think it'd be too small, especially for the guys I play with at Senior Citizens. They need their bifocals.
Yeah. Yeah. Do people leave you alone when you go play Buzz Time Trivia?
No.
Like, or do people, like, you know, I think that it's hard to mistake, hey, is that Ross Matthews?
Especially in the gay community.
Right.
Yeah. But no, they don't leave me alone, and I don't want them to leave me alone. I mean, listen, the whole thing is like, I got into this life because I like people.
Right.
I like communicating. As soon as people stop you know, talking to me out in public, then I know something's going horribly wrong. You know, I like it. I like that everywhere I go, I have friends, even if I don't know them.
I heard about you that you're really into Periscope.
Not crazy into it, but it's fun. I broadcast probably maybe 8 times. And Periscope is where you can broadcast live on your phone. And you can, what I like more than broadcasting, as much as I like doing it, I like watching people. So Salvador and I...
Watch a lot of Periscope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Salvador and I are in bed and we are watching like some drunk girl in Ohio eating Taco Bell.
I feel like I don't hear a lot of people talking about like watching the randoms on Periscope. I think that's one of the underrated features of it. Yes. Sometimes I'm just sitting there and like, let's see what else is going on in the world.
Especially late at night.
Yes.
There are some lonely drunk people out there who just want to talk about it.
Yeah. It's really, and then do you chat? Do you
occasionally, if there's a like a gay or a girl or someone who I think might know, I'll say like, hi, watching. And then watching them like drunkenly look at their phone and be like, Rosemary?
Yeah.
Is that the Rosemary? That's kind of a fun moment. But I try to make it not about me. That was kind of in the beginning.
Right.
Now I just like to be anonymous and sort of like watch it with Salvador and laugh.
Right. Like, do you have like an incognito sort of profile where you can just watch the stuff and not have people know that you're there?
No. I feel like that's like a new level of weird. Like, no.
Because that you would want to be able to interact with this person, but almost like sort of like an invisibility cloak or disguise, like you wouldn't necessarily want to tell people like, hey, this is Ross here.
I understand the appeal of doing that, but if I did that, I'd be sad for myself.
Yes.
That like, I would like, what are you doing with your life, Ross, that you've created this fake account on Periscope to go watch people?
Because maybe you don't want people to know that you were just watching this person.
If I get to that point, honey, it's not good for me. It's not good. Yeah. I insist on being too busy.
You have to be authentic.
No, I just insist that my life be good enough that I'm too busy to create a fake Periscope account just so I can watch a drunk girl eat a taco and talk to her and have her not know it's me. I have to think that I have more going on in my life than that.
But you still would talk to the drunk girl who's eating the taco.
But I'll just be me.
Okay.
I'm not above talking to a drunk girl on Periscope. Yes. I'm not going to do it as like a fake person.
See, I guess that for me, I feel like it would color the interaction where you might have like a more authentic reaction from her if she just thought you were any stranger as opposed to being a famous person interacting with her. Like, and I feel like that would almost ruin the fun for me. Of like, I don't want to see how this drunk girl reacts to my questions of here's a famous person talking to me.
Yeah, I understand your point. But what I get with Salvador is he can ask, if I have a question and I want to ask it anonymously.
He can go on his phone.
His phone.
Okay, so that's fine.
So I do fulfill that need.
Yes, mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to know that much about it. You know, you forget I'm a judge. I'm just there to judge.
Yes, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. No, it is fascinating to just sort of like, you know, pop into like, especially like if you look at it like on a Friar Saturday, there's like all of these like horrible like parties that people are having where there's like four people like playing like, you know, categories and then one person has the phone and it's really just interesting to see what's going on in the world.
I watch it a lot to see about how people decorate their living rooms. That's always kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. People need to clean up their houses.
Yeah.
I'm not judging here, but like there's clothes on the floor with just about everyone on Periscope.
So you think we're entering into a new era of where people are just going to be cleaning more and more just because like, hey, somebody could be here on Periscope.
I don't want
the whole world to sort of look like it.
I hope that for them, but I hope it mostly for me.
Yes.
Because I can't watch this. There's a lot of messes on Periscope.
Yeah. Are you a neat freak? Do you keep everything really clean?
I'm a human. So of course we Swiffer, mm-hmm, you know, and we pick up and you have to. Like, you can't just leave clothes on the floor. It's 2015.
And what sort of things do you Periscope?
Oh, like I Periscope in the back of a cab in New York. I Periscope behind the scenes of Straight Talk, which is my podcast here on Podcast One.
Yes.
Sometimes you just do like, let's do Q&A. Or after like an award show or something, I'll Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we make like cooking, I'll Periscope because I cook every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I see somebody in the green room opening Pinot Grigio. Is that for you?
That's my assistant, Brandon.
So you, can we talk? Are we allowed to talk about this or no?
Yes. Okay, you can talk about anything.
So your assistant, I see somebody is here with a bottle of white wine and a corkscrew and plastic cups.
We're taping right as soon as we're done with our conversation. I'm taping my episodes for this
week. So it gets like 4th hour of the Today Show in here.
Look, my watches told me to stand up. You see that?
Yes.
See? It just says says, I got a tap on my wrist and says, time to stand up, move a little. It's true.
And you can't say, hey, I'm podcasting right now.
No, so I'll do it later. But anyway, so we bring wine and have food, and because it really is about a convo with friends. So that's how we do it.
That's
so
a classy judge. Show.
Okay, well, that's the first time we've ever been called that.
Yes.
But it's fun.
No, I have nothing for people when they come on.
I noticed.
Yeah, we were lucky we had. Well, I never even knew that was a thing on podcasts that you have like refreshments.
Oh, I always have it. We always get food and the guests that I mean, and we
do
have
people
the,
eat on the podcast?
Yeah. Lance Bass almost ate all our pizza. That's a joke. He didn't, but he had some.
Yes.
But we've had people.
That was one of the ones I listened to, Lance Bass.
So we've had last bands, Kristen Bell, from everyone knows Frozen.
Yes.
House of Lies? Anyway, and who else? Lauren Conrad's been on. Kelly Osbourne's been on. Brad Goreski. Khloe Kardashian's coming on.
Yes.
What's great about our podcast is it is about my opinion. It is about the listeners, what's going on in their lives. And then we have these like huge Hollywood people pop in for a little bit for a really cool convo.
I know you had Lauren on the podcast. Do you know Spencer Pratt?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know him,
yes.
But I know who that is.
Yes, we do shows with him. Have you ever had any interactions with him?
No.
Okay.
How is he?
He's very funny. He's misunderstood.
Oh.
He's misunderstood. He's, you know, he sort of had this whole arc where he was sort of up here and then now he's not. And then, you know, what's his life like now?
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
Podcasts.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would actually be an interesting reality show. Reality show about what happens when you're no longer a reality star. But the problem with that is then you're on the reality.
Yes.
So
yes.
That will never be done.
He's working on producing reality shows on Snapchat.
Hey, good luck with that.
Yes.
I think that's great. I think, sure, everything's going good for.
There's a lot of stuff coming up.
God bless.
Okay. I have some questions for you from our listeners.
Are you serious?
I told our listeners that we were going to be talking, and we're not live, but I asked for these questions ahead of time. This is a question from Tamir Markowitz.
Hi, Tamir.
Who wants to know, is Rosie O'Donnell a good mentor? Is Rosie O'Donnell a mentor of yours?
Well, yeah. I mean, she was before she knew she was. I would watch her and I just connected with her and
like when she was on VH1 or when she did the Rosie O'Donnell talk show?
The talk show.
Yeah.
I mean, I would come home from school and watch it and love it. And then somehow in my life, I got to know her and become friends with her. And she's always been sort of a great sounding board for me. And also in many aspects.
And you've gotten to know her personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in many aspects, also someone I'd like to emulate in not all, but in many aspects.
Yeah.
I love her.
Phil Gourlay wants to know, do you have any interesting stories from the Big Brother show Inside Dish that you hosted? Anything fans would be shocked to know about any of the contestants?
Yeah. I mean, they're just some
people
of them
want to hear a good story.
So
give us
nice.
one good Big Brother contestant story that we don't know.
Well, Lydia, do you remember Lydia?
Yes,
tattooed
yes,
Lydia?
Yes.
So she was so sweet. She made me paintings of my dogs, right? I mean, like that's been sent them in and was very, very sweet.
Yes.
Let's see. I still run into.
That didn't creep you out?
No. Because, I mean, I watched her like take showers.
Okay. So then you're even.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So, God, good stories. I mean, some of them are so gross.
Yeah. That was the season
with the clicks.
Yeah, with the clicks where Jesse came back and then Jordan was the winner, right?
Yeah, they're adorable, Jordan and
they're going to be on
Jeff.
Marriage Boot Camp reality stars.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into specifics, but I mean, the best stories are about how gross some of them were.
Yes, like gross with you on the...
Just gross in general, how like what gross people some of them were, but I don't want to name names.
Okay, but can you...
But you can imagine.
I can't imagine. Without naming names, could you tell us what one of them did that was really gross?
It's not there wasn't like a thing. It was just how like gross they were and how like insistent on like being gross they were. You know what I mean? What they wanted to talk about, how they wanted to talk about it. There was one girl that like quit the show and then she would like email us all the time to like get her message out. And I'm like, I'm not in the business of like getting your message out.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, anyway, and I'm not saying she's gross out loud, but I think, you know, some of them are, you know.
Okay.
You get it.
David Healy wants to know.
Things I shouldn't say. Sorry.
How was your time working with Todrick Hall?
So Todrick Hall is like this YouTube sensation.
Yes.
Where he gets millions of hits and all these things. And I just think he is, you know, there are kids on YouTube like that. And I say kids, he's like 25 or 20 or whatever. But they are the future of entertainment. Like they are pumping out this quality, inventive, brand new stuff. And 2 million people download it in a week. Yeah. So he asked, do you want to be involved in this video, Beauty and the Boots? And I said, yes. And it's about Belle from Beauty and the Beast, like being in West Hollywood, meeting all the gays and stuff. It's very funny. It went out in a week. It has like 2 million views. He's incredible. He's a really bright guy. You're going to be seeing a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if he is directing his own movies, like a Tyler Perry kind of thing one day.
Yeah. And how did you get connected with him?
He reached out on like social media and said, you want to? And I was like, yeah. So I showed up at 1 o'clock at the Abbey and he had a film crew and we shot it.
Okay. This is a question from Megan Z. Wants to know, which Saved by the Bell character do you think you would have tried to be friends with in high school? Are you a big Saved by the Bell guy?
Of course.
Yes.
I write in my best-selling book, Man Up, No Big D, a whole chapter about when I met Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah, how is that?
It was great. And I took this picture that I just love. And so Tiffany Amber, it was Kelly Kapowski would be who I'd want to. I'd be in love with Zach Morris and AC Slater, but I'd probably hook up with Scrooge.
Wow.
But no, but true story. Can I drop a name real quick?
Of course.
Do you know who I had lunch with before I came here today?
Dennis Haskins.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Wow.
I know. So I wait, my first celebrity, I waited in line 4 hours to meet
her. You came right from
lunch
with Kelly to Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you came right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. We both had salads. I'm starving.
Yes.
Because when she orders a salad, you order a salad. Do you understand?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. I love her. She's a really wonderful person and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay.
But that's my life, by the way.
Okay. All right.
Amazing. Amazing, isn't it?
It's fantastic. All right. Ross Matthews is doing Straight Talk with Ross.
Oh, are we done?
You got to do your show.
Oh, I do have to do my show, right? Listen. Thank you so much for talking with me. And thanks. I mean, I know we're a family of the same family.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. And like, if there's anything I can do for you, I absolutely will. And maybe if you want to meet Tiffany Thiessen, you know, if that marriage of yours goes south and Tater Tot's boyfriend goes break.
No, wow. I have options. Oh no.
No. Hi to your wife. Just kidding.
Yes.
Wish you a long life.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Ross. You could go to podcastone.com
or straighttalkwithross.com or you can download us on iTunes, Straight Talk with Ross. We're also on Facebook, Straight Talk with Ross, and on Twitter and Instagram at Butch Rickey, which you will get if you listen to the show.
Okay. Best of luck with the show. Thank you so much for coming on. I like to get out a hashtag at the end of the episodes. If people made it to the end, to tweet us with the hashtag.
Oh, my God. There's so much. What could we do?
BuzzFeed trivia. Buzz Time trivia. Oh, my God. I got the branding wrong.
Oh, you got it wrong. I think, yeah, I guess it'd be hashtag...
Buzz Time Ross.
Lunch with Tiffany.
Lunch with Tiffany.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
And that's Tiffany with an I, you people, right?
Thank you so much for pointing that out.
Yes, thank you. I'm a big say by the, I don't know if that came across. I'm a big say by the
guy.
Oh,
no, I don't want that one.
Okay.
Let's do hashtag fatties on TV.
Fatties on TV. All
yes.
right. Let's get the movement going.
Or hashtag give me my fatties.
Give me my fatties. People are going to think that you're going to want that. It's going to mean like you want like a hookup for other stuff.
I don't care. That's the one I want. Give me my fatties.
Give me my fatties.
Yeah, F-A-T-T-I-E-S. Give me my fatties. That's right. What I want.
Ross, thank you so much for coming on. Check out Ross's show, and we'll be back with more Rob's Podcast soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye.